I scream. You scream. Why is everyone screaming? You can probably guess. It's the 90.5 WESA Social Club Podcast. Social Club for the weekend of July 10th, 2015. I'm Josh Rawlerson from 90.5 WESA. Rachel Carlson is Community Director of Yelp Pittsburgh and our resident expert on fun things to do in Pittsburgh on the weekend, and in particular, delicious things to eat. And Rachel, first of all, hello, welcome back.
Hello.
Did you have a good weekend?
I had a great weekend. I have to look back at the calendar.
You have that look on your
course.
Face like maybe the details aren't, you know, for public consumption.
Well, I mean, you know, it was the fourth. Kind of I had a lot of outdoor activity fun. I went to the wave pool in Settlers Ridge.
Very nice.
You gotta go. Have you been?
No, I didn't know there was a wave pool there.
Have you been to a wave pool with your kids?
No.
It's insanity slash a little bit scary slash really fun.
Nice.
So, yeah, all wave right. pool fun.
Putting that on the agenda.
Yeah, put it on the agenda, but it was a good weekend. How about you?
Right on. Yeah, kind of lame.
Oh, Josh, yeah. Come on.
Yeah. No, it was all right. It was a nice weekend. It was a nice three-day weekend for me, which
Sparklers.
In itself was awesome.
Illegal
yeah,
fireworks.
You know, we've been over my underwhelmedness with the state of fireworks today, but, you know, we don't need to rehash that.
No.
But no, it was a nice weekend.
Good.
But on to the matter at hand.
Yes.
Which is
an
historic
details.
Event for Social Club. This is simultaneously the largest panel we have ever assembled, and on a topic that's near and dear to both of our
yes,
hearts.
Yes, absolutely.
It is National Ice Cream Month.
Happy National Ice Cream Month.
And happy Ice Cream Month to you and to everyone out there. And to mark this auspicious occasion, we've invited some of the luminaries of Pittsburgh's ice cream industry, which is kind of hopping right now. So I'll let you introduce the dignitaries that are here for our first ever Pittsburgh Ice Cream Summit.
Ice Cream
Social. That's way better.
Oh, my gosh.
That's the hashtag.
Okay. Ice Cream Social.
Ice Cream
Official
Social.
Hashtag.
Hit it.
Use it, guys. Okay. So we have, and if you can visualize this in your head while you're listening, we have Katie from Leona's.
Hi.
We have Ryan from Betsy's.
How's it going?
And we have Anna from Mercurio's.
Hey.
And
welcome, everybody.
Yeah, welcome. Happy to have you guys here and chat a little bit about your background. And we were just chatting a little bit before we started, and it's so interesting to hear what people did before this. So do you want to speak a little bit about like what you were doing prior to ice cream?
Sure. I'll start on this end. This is Katie. And prior to ice cream and ice cream sandwich making, I was a public relations person for large food companies like Kellogg's and Conagra and lawnmowers and all sorts of fun stuff. So,
and now your official business is Leona's,
correct.
Which you make ice cream sandwiches.
Yes, I make ice cream sandwiches, super premium ice cream, homemade cookies, homemade ice cream, homemade flavors that go in everything. So everything's made by hand in Wilkinsburg.
That sounds delicious already. And Ryan.
Prior to me starting Betsy's, I was actually in a similar kind of job. I was in corporate marketing for about 8 years with three of the biggest companies, three of the biggest brands out there in their industries. The last place I went to was kind of a square peg in a round hole. And so after a couple months, I decided I needed to go do something else. And I kicked around the idea of putting an ice cream shop up in Mount Lebanon for a couple of years and quit my job, went out and started bartending for about 6 months to pay the bills while I was working on the business plan. And then about 8 months later, we opened up Betsy's. So and I never looked back from then.
Amazing. And Anna, I know you have a little different
story. I do have a different story. I kind of, my parents opened the Mulberry Street Creamery in 1999 in Katanning, Pennsylvania, when I was 11. So I grew up in making ice cream and making gelato. So I've always known that this is what I was going to be doing. Prior to opening the restaurant, I worked at the gelateria in Shadyside that we had on Copeland Street. And before that, I scooped my way all through high school and college.
This is like the family business. Does that color your experience of ice cream at all growing up? Was it like, did it mean something different to you than to other kids your age when you're surrounded by ice cream?
I guess so. Everybody always liked to come to our house because we had the
the scraps.
We always had ice cream or gelato at our house. We did ice cream and custard initially, but once the gelato started to pick up about 2005 when we opened in Shadyside, we just stuck with it. And then we opened up the Walnut Street location in 2012.
Did anyone scoop ice cream prior to this, like for a high school job?
Nope. I did not.
No. Okay. That would be my burning question.
It's interesting to me that these are all pretty new businesses and people coming in from all walks of life. Is there an ice cream boom happening in Pittsburgh right now? What is the state of this industry in this town?
I think there was a hole for a long time. Mm-hmm. You obviously have your awesome Pittsburgh ice cream historical places.
Dave and Andy's.
You got Paige's Dairy Mart.
Yeah.
But I think there was space for something new, something artisanal, and something that kind of utilized more of the bounty that Pittsburgh and the area had to offer.
I agree completely.
So, what does artisanal mean to you guys? Is it about the ingredients you use? Is it about sort of innovative combinations of flavors or what?
Yeah, I'd say it's a little bit of both. We try to source as much locally as we can. And then just, I think, putting a little more care into the product, putting a little more love into it, not just cranking out something that is kind of a commodity and, you know, low quality. Making sure that the what you're putting into it is the highest quality and what you're putting out to your customers is the highest possible quality as well.
I would definitely agree with that. It also has to do with kind of your process of making it as well. So all of our...
It's not just made with love?
It is made with a lot of love, a sprinkle of magic.
Okay, good.
And a whole lot of cream.
And some proprietary trade secrets.
Right, right.
And sugar.
And sugar. Yeah. Lots of sugar. And I think that going back to that local aspect, all of our dairy is local. All of our fruit, as much as possible, is local. And this is like the time to get everything that tastes amazing. So we had 200 pounds of berries the other day.
Oh, my gosh.
300 pounds of blueberries. Yeah.
And Anna, you guys actually are part of a competition circuit as well with your gelato?
What?
Or your mother was?
Yes and no. We are part of NICRA, which is the National Ice Cream Retailers Association. I'm not sure if you have heard of it.
Yep.
My mother was very involved in it, and we compete every year by sending our flavors, and then they're voted on through the people that are in the group and new people, and you can just vote best flavor, and usually every year they have a different best nut flavor, best fruit flavor. We haven't participated since 2009. We closed the other store in 2010. The transition happened in 2012, but this is the first year that Michael and I have decided we are going to go. It's in St. Petersburg this year to compete.
Cool.
So we're working on a best new flavor. And if any of you have ideas for me.
Wait, so I'm curious, what's the wildest flavor that you've ever made that maybe it was a hit or maybe it wasn't, but you were like, this is crazy and I love it?
Go ahead.
We've been doing gelato and ice cream 17 years, so we've tried everything. Something that was really surprising to me that I liked, we haven't made it for a long time, but was a sweet potato flavor.
Nice.
Interesting. Nice. Mm-hmm. I would try it. I would try anything with ice cream.
I've been wanting to actually do one for fall, like the last couple of years. So that's been
on my list,
like a sweet potato or something. Yeah, I've been really wanting to do that, and I've been wanting to do like a corn one for the end of summer.
Sweet
as well.
Corn.
It's analogous to like the pumpkin spice latte thing.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Nails.
Yeah, you have to hashtag it, and then I think it'll take off.
There you go.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's the key. I think the craziest one that we've done so far, well, there's two, and they're both pretty big hits. We did plum ice cream with a ginger molasses cookie.
Hmm.
And adults like it because it's got like a really intense, interesting flavor.
Yeah.
And kids like it because it's purple.
Yeah. That's
and that's
true.
Really the key. And we have a couple of little girls out in Mount Lebanon. We do every once in a while we're out at Hitchhiker Brewery and they come and they're just waiting. And they're like, do you have the purple one?
Oh, my gosh.
And with the sugar on the outside of the cookie, it's a little sparkly, too. So it's purple and sparkles. It's kind of like the best thing for little girls. And then we have a blackberry balsamic tangerine ice cream on a bergamot shortbread cookie.
Oh, wow.
That is it's a revelation.
You're some kind of evil genius.
I was just thinking, you were speaking Josh's language because I see his eyes light up. And you also have a beer infused?
Yeah, we work with a couple of different breweries. So if you notice, if you follow us on social media, most of our events are at breweries or distilleries. And this is very purposeful because this is how we roll. but we've done stuff with Roundabout. We did a stout ice cream with them on a chocolate cookie.
Ugh,
it's real malty and delicious. And then with the Brew Gentleman, we do beer and ice cream pairings about once a quarter. And we've made their White Sky Chai Wheat beer into an ice cream with pumpkin cookies.
Oh my God, that sounds delicious.
It's pretty tasty. Yeah.
Are you guys all getting inspired by each other?
A little bit of Maggie's Farm rum as well in some of our ice cream sandwiches.
Never hurts.
No, it doesn't hurt.
Would you go so far as to attempt like a root beer float with beer?
Yes.
Is that a thing?
Beer floats are incredible, especially if you get the right beer, like any kind
of... It's a pretty exact science, probably.
Gosh, yeah, I didn't even know this.
Stout and porter, yeah, there's some pretty incredible combos. I do it at home as well as out
there. Give me a recipe, please.
And even like they sell the hard root beer and stuff now too, which is which does a really good adult root beer float. One of the places down in Mount Lebanon, Brews Brothers was using our ice cream for that last year, doing the grown-up root beer floats and stuff. But as far as like oddball flavors that we've done, the worst flavor I've ever made was I did a candied ginger a couple of years ago.
It doesn't sound bad.
It would clear out your sinuses. Oh. I just went overboard, and then the candied ginger pieces just kind of would pull out any fillings or dental work you've had.
Man.
That was a pretty rousing failure. We did one last year, goat cheese and basil, that was really interesting, kind of a little savory and stuff, and that one was a pretty big hit. And then our lavender raspberry that we've had out for a couple of years was kind of one of the first ones that I started making that when I really started tinkering around with ice cream and stuff. My wife was like, this is going to taste like perfume, you know. And but when you finally get it together, it's been one of our staples for, you know, our fourth season now. So, nice. You know. So we're always tinkering, you know.
And with Katie saying she was at a lot of breweries and that's kind of her environment and where I think probably you found a little niche.
Yeah.
Ryan, in Mount Lebanon, do you feel the community, you're affected by the community in terms of what flavors you do, that kind of thing?
Yeah, we're constantly listening to, you know, what our customers want. And actually once a year we do a create your own flavor contest. So we'll theme it based on the season. So like if we do it early in the season, we'll do a March Madness contest. And what we do is we take submissions for 2 or 3 weeks. And then what we do is we kind of whittle them down to like 40 or 50 and have the staff vote on them. And then we actually do a tournament where we'll make each flavor and put them up against each other. And then whichever one sells the best, you know, we'll end up being the champion for the month. And we've given away like iPads and different things
as a championship. Anna, you said you did that too?
It's so much fun.
It's a lot of work, but it's a lot of work. Yeah.
We used to do that too. Come up with flavors to send for the best new flavor, whatever flavor that the customers would vote on. Our concept is just a little bit different. We love to come up with new flavors and try new things, but Michael and I are very...
And Michael is your
Michael's
brother.
My brother, yes. We own Mercurios together. Our goal really in our business is to be as authentic as possible. So it's a little tricky when they don't necessarily put pieces and inclusions in gelato when you go to Italy. Although, over the last 5 years, we've seen it more and more. You will see strawberry cheesecake there. You will see M&Ms. They don't really have M&Ms, but little chocolate pieces in their gelato in Italy. Still not mainstream. It's still very standard. So we kind of have to have a balance between the authentic traditional Italian flavors, and then, but on the side, we like
That's
to try a lot of the new things.
So do you go to Italy frequently to just kind of keep tabs on the industry there?
We do. We go about every other year. Usually in January, and
I'm still thinking this.
Yeah, how do you write that off?
Very easily.
Yeah, we actually did, and it's even more fun now that we have a pizzeria and do Neapolitan style pizza. Because that just gives us a reason to go to Naples and eat. But we do pizza and gelato tours. So every day you are eating pizza and gelato. You have to diet all year just for the week that you go. And it's nice. It's fun. You get a lot of new ideas. We go to – it's called SIGAP, I believe. And it is a huge – convention of pizza and coffee and gelato, and you can meet with your vendors, which is what we do a lot when we go over there. We buy supplies and just try new things, see what kind of is trending in Italy, and we try to bring it back here into Pittsburgh.
And I remember when we were in Italy last year, I mean, my husband, the thing we thought was so amazing slash we want to bring it to America is it didn't matter what time of the day or night, everyone is eating gelato. It was old, young, any kind of nationality, any kind of just any time, people were eating gelato. And I really want that to happen here.
Right. Well, that also comes with having a gelateria on every single corner. Yeah,
that's true. Probably not something you want to have.
No.
Maybe
we'll see.
How do you guys feel in terms of being a business in Pittsburgh? Do you feel connected to the business community, the small businesses? And you guys do chat? Do you kind of watch what each other does?
I think Pittsburgh has a great small business community, very welcoming. Even it's so easy to just walk up to someone and start bouncing ideas off of them. Mm-hmm. And even if they may compete in some space or something like that with something you're doing, there's no animosity or any kind of weirdness in that regard, So it's I've been very, very happy with how small businesses have conducted themselves and everything. And
I totally agree. Coming from the corporate side and into the small business world, just in the last year of being in operation, we really feel that we found some really great friends, some really great support systems, all kind of going through a similar thing. There's a whole lot of businesses that just hit their one-year mark this year, which we were one of them. So we've all kind of grown at the same time in the same space. It's really been incredible. And the nice thing about our product, Leona's, is that even though we are all making ice cream, our ice cream is 100% lactose free. So it kind of hits a different niche. Yep. While it's great for everybody because it just tastes like normal, super premium, 16% butterfat, awesome ice cream. Even if you're lactose intolerant, you can enjoy that. And that kind of puts us in a little bit of a different space, which is nice.
How do you process it so that it's lactose free?
A little bit of magic, a little bit of science.
You're just going to say that.
A little chemistry.
And some love.
Some love and a whole lot of food testing with Microbac Laboratories to make sure that we've got it exactly right. We were we use natural enzymes to break down the sugar. Because lactose doesn't taste like anything. It's a compound sugar that's made up of three sugars. So we break that apart so your body can digest it. And you really can't taste anything because it's one sugar to another. We just worked really hard to get it. We first started out, we were at about 85%, and then kept testing, kept working, working with chemists and food labs to make sure that we could get it to absolute zero. So that's where we are now, which is awesome.
You guys are all mad scientists.
Well, ice cream is not like cooking. Ice cream is a little bit of science because you have to know freezing science and how fat content affects things, how inclusions affects things, how your the water content in your fruit when you put that in, because you don't want icy ice cream. You want it to be perfectly smooth. So I learned all that stuff at Penn State their ice cream course.
Creamery? What's the Penn State
creamery? Berkey Creamery.
Okay.
Yeah, so they have a 123-year-old ice cream course.
Wow.
That you work with the food scientists and the Department of Agriculture people and learn all the mad science stuff.
One of the things I'm wondering, is there a specific Pittsburgh or maybe Pennsylvania ice cream culture? Is there some, you know, tradition that feeds into this city that makes ice cream here different from in other places?
I did hear over the weekend, I did a Just Ducky tour for the very first time. And awesome. I'm not sure if you've done one, but I did hear on this. Yes, quack, quack, quack. I did hear on the tour that Pittsburgh has the most consumption of ice cream of any other city in the United States.
That's like beer and ice cream.
And I couldn't believe as somebody who I believe that. We make a lot for the people in this city, but I thought that was really exciting. They love it here.
Yeah. That's a good thing. And I know, Ryan, you're actually promoting this ice cream CSA.
Yes. Yes.
This is a brilliant idea.
Yes. Sorry,
thank you. Thanks. We started back in November with it, and it's been growing like absolute wildfire. We do it kind of – it's not like a traditional CSA. It's more kind of like an ice cream a month club sort of thing. It's $20 a month, and what we do is around the 10th of the month, we send you an email that says, hey, here's when we're going to be dropping off in your neighborhood. And it gives you a very specific two-hour window. And then here's what flavors we're bringing. Here's the allergy information, so on and so forth. And then on the 20th of the month, we bring the stuff to your house. And we bring out 4 pints a month. Each month is something different. We do a couple of the artisan flavors. We'll do a couple flavors that the kids like. So there's something, a little bit of something for everybody in there. What we do is then if, something happens and say you're out of town on vacation or something like that, you just let us know. We suspend your account for the month. You don't get charged anything. And we can just pick it up the following month. So we try to make it as flexible and as easy for people as possible. And there's no minimum term, anything like that. And it's been – we were fortunate enough to have a couple articles. Mount Lebanon Magazine had an article last month, and the Post-Gazette did an article as well. And we've been signing up people like crazy. So it's been growing really well for us.
Yeah, I believe it. I have a CSA, a traditional CSA myself, and that's great. But one can only eat so much kale and Swiss chard.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
I can't imagine getting tired of the ice cream delivery every month. I think that would be.
And the retention's been fantastic. Pretty much everyone at Joint stays on for a long time.
Wow. Okay.
So we've been really, really happy with how that's been growing and stuff. So
I'm interested. What's the one thing when you are introduced to someone out and about and you say, oh, I own my own business, and I'm sure you say, you don't say I own my own business, ice cream. I'm sure you say something more specific. But what's the one thing that people ask you all the time that you're like, okay, I get this all the time?
What's your favorite flavor?
What's your favorite flavor?
Yes.
I don't, that's a trick question.
I know. Who's your favorite child?
Do you have a top five?
I always say that I let them know what our best seller is, which is our cinnamon ice cream on an oatmeal lace cookie. Mm. It's kind of the gateway drug. It's real good. And then I just kind of remind them that ice cream is an emotional food. It's very much tied to how you're feeling. If you're feeling happy, if you're feeling sad, why you're eating the ice cream. And, every kind of mood has a different flavor that goes with it. And then I always ask, what's your favorite kind of ice cream? And immediately, whatever they say, I can kind of guide them, from there.
That sounds
great way to put it.
That's great. And just a quick question with gelato. I think people get confused. So ice cream is not gelato.
No.
Okay.
I can elaborate. It's a little bit different. Similar ingredients, pretty much the same. I would say the biggest difference in gelato versus ice cream, there are two things, the butterfat content and also how it's frozen. Ice cream, anything, the Department of Agriculture requires anything above 10% butterfat to be called ice cream. Well, it can be called ice cream. Mm-hmm. Gelato is at about 6 to 8%. Ours is around 7% butterfat. And so it's a frozen dessert. And so technically we are not allowed to call it ice cream. It's Italian ice cream. If people ask us if we sell ice cream, we say, well, we sell Italian gelato. It's very similar to ice cream. So the butterfat content, I guess the way that it was explained to me when I was younger was that if you are making, if you put a gallon of ice cream mix into a freezer, you generally get about 2 gallons out. It's about 100% overrun. And the way that you make it taste absolutely delicious and creamy and you get that great texture is with the butter. The difference with gelato is that because we don't have a high butter fat, you put a gallon into a machine, you get 1.2 gallons out. So it's very, very dense. Mm. And the density is what gives it the texture versus the butter. Mm-hmm. That's what you
want. Yeah. And then within ice cream, there's the whole gradation of premium, super premium.
Well, that's don't go on that guideline.
Is that all regulated too, or is that just marketing?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No.
Okay. Super premium is 50% air or less.
I see. That's what we both do, the super premium.
Yeah, yeah. I actually got an overrun scale, which is like
I had one of my staff broke it.
A piece of equipment that you need to use one time, and then it's really expensive. And I don't know why I got it, but I did. Amazon.
if anyone's looking.
You're right. And I checked it, and ours is about 33% air. Mm-hmm. So it's probably
closer.
So with
the higher butter fat, less air is like absolutely creamy.
It's like a brick of deliciousness.
Wow.
And then frozen custard is the same thing with eggs. Is that right?
Yeah, they make it's a custard first, so you cook it first. So it's basically like you make pudding, and then you make it into ice cream. But
does
there's definitely
make
more dairy.
Custard?
We use custard for our traditional, if we make milkshakes at a restaurant. Mm-hmm. It's not... No, I mean,
use like a custard base, like a egg base, heavy egg base for some of like our lemon custard and stuff like that. So we do use that. But, you know, as far as like any kind of like soft serve custard, stuff like that, we kind of stay away from it, you know.
Yeah. We do. It's called like hard bodied, hard pack ice cream.
Hard bodied.
Wow.
First time I've heard that term.
I was going to say hard bodied and eating ice cream.
Yeah, that's how I got this physique.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really
it takes a lot of work.
What's the most popular flavor out of the three of you that you sell the most of?
Ours was actually one that was created by one of our customers. It was a 14-year-old middle school girl came up with it. It's called Pittsburgh Pride. And it's not exactly artisan or fancy, but it's a cake batter ice cream with brownies, Oreos, and chocolate swirl. And
sounds amazing.
Yeah.
I'm on for that. Yeah.
We go through that stuff as fast as we can make it. And like just on the 4th of July alone, we'll go through 18 to 20 gallons.
Oh my gosh.
So is it yellow cake batter? Is it black and gold?
It's black and gold, but we use a natural and auto extract for the color and stuff. So we try to keep everything, you know, all natural. Right. But people sometimes see the bright yellow color and they automatically think we're dumping in, you know, tons of yellow number 40 or whatever.
Oh, gosh.
It is. And it's not the case. It's a natural color. It's actually insanely expensive. The natto extract is like $260 a gallon.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's way more expensive than using the cheap stuff, but it is all natural, you know.
Good so, thing.
Yeah. We've got kind of two at the top right now. Cinnamon on the oatmeal lace is always like the best seller year round because it doesn't have a seasonality to it. I can always get cinnamon. And then anything else on the oatmeal lace cookie is then automatically popped to the top. So we have blueberry right now. As soon as peaches come out, we'll do a roasted peach on the oatmeal lace. Yeah, it's really good.
Sounds so good.
And then our Heath Crunch ice cream. So I make homemade Heath candy that goes in the ice cream. It also goes in the cookie. And then there's a little bit of sea salt on the top of the cookie. So it's like crunchy, chewy, salty, sweet.
I actually don't at Mercurio's. I don't know. We sell we have 36 flavors at a time. I would say the two most popular are probably our dark chocolate stracciatella, which is a dark chocolate base with a shredded chocolate through it, and our death by chocolate. So that's
chocolate.
It's a chocolate base with brownies, chocolate chips, and chocolate chunks. And I'm a vanilla-based girl, but if it weren't either of those, I'd probably say the Nutella, which is a chocolate hazelnut. So
awesome.
People on Shady Side like chocolate.
They love the chocolate.
Seriously. And just talking about our podcast, we talk a lot about events and upcoming things going on. So I know a lot of you are out and about doing events, and there's a lot going on this weekend. So I know that... You've got the night market.
The night market on Friday, which I guess
This Friday. Okay.
Yeah, this Friday. Then the Peters Township Farmers Market tomorrow night. So.
And you can hit up the night market. That is Friday from 5:30 to 11. That coincides with the gallery crawl, too. So you can get your ice cream and walk around, but probably eat it before you go into a gallery, because I don't know if they'd appreciate that.
Yeah.
Probably not. Leona's is going to be at Roundabout Brewery in Lawrenceville, right on Butler, for their two-year anniversary. So we will be there, and I'm hoping to go there this evening and pick up a growler of something delicious and make it into some ice cream. We're undecided as to what it's going to be yet, but hopefully we'll have a fabulous beer-infused ice cream for the festivities. And I believe it is noon to 5. There's going to be live music, and Blowfish Barbecue is also going to be there.
Which is barbecue ice cream?
Yeah. No. It's funny. I always try to, like, trade some ice cream for some like brisket, and he's like, oh, I'm not really a sweets guy.
Oh,
I was like,
no.
Well, I'm a brisket gal, so can you just
come on,
help me out?
Anna, I know that you have a mobile station for the ice cream. Well, both you and Ryan have a mobile station for the ice cream and also the pizza.
We do wood-fired catering, and at those events where we bring our mobile oven, we will generally bring a case for the gelato. This weekend, we just have some private events, weddings, and our festivals will probably be in August. So we're doing the Italian Festival out in Moon, the 7th, 8th, and 9th. We're doing the gelato at the Bloomfield Festival in Bloomfield. And are you going to be there too?
No, we're not.
Oh, okay. I looked at you and your eyes lit up.
No,
it's just like Bloomfield.
Yeah. This will be our first year participating in that. We're really excited. And then we have festivals in September. But July's basically weddings. Good wedding season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And do all of you operate year-round? Is it not just a summertime thing?
We close our store early December through February. But we still have the CSA. We still have wholesale catering and everything going all year round. So
we are also 12 months out of the year. January is always a little slow. People are out of money and on a diet. So we usually take a week or so off. Hopefully this year we will take that week in France for a master glacier class.
Very nice.
Wow. That's a write-off.
Yeah, it is.
Ryan, you got to get on the European trail there.
Yeah,
we are open. The restaurant's open 7 days a week. The entire year.
So people should come visit you guys anytime, but especially during National Ice Cream Month.
Yeah.
It'd be a great time to cool off with something awesome from one of your businesses.
Yeah.
And you can follow at
Leona's LLC is our Twitter. And same with Facebook. And then on Instagram, it's at Dreamer of Cream. Mm-hmm. And my lovely wife, Krista, and business partner, she is all about the social media. So she posts all sorts of stuff. And you can also find us at one of 12 local retailers. So if you go on our website, leonaspgh.com, you can find out where all of the stores are that carry our ice cream flavors.
And we can be found on Twitter, Betsy's of Mount Lebo. And on Instagram and Facebook at Betsy's Ice Cream.
You can find us. We're on Twitter and Instagram and also Facebook at Mercurius PGH.
All right. Thank you guys so much for
coming
in.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Happy Ice Cream, National Ice Cream Month. Yeah. Lots going on.
Do you have anything to add to that?
Well, I mean, there's a lot going on this weekend. So, of course, the PDP Night Market is going on. The gallery crawl is going on. The big one is the furries come to town.
Of course.
I'm so excited about.
Do you have your costume all picked out?
I have my place that I'm going to go and mingle with the furries picked out that I will drink at.
All right.
And apparently they're going to be parading outside this year for the first time, which sounds super exciting for me.
No doubt.
So you can admire all the costumes. And we also have Southside Works Exposed, which runs Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. The I Made It Market will be there. That's pretty, I think, maybe the largest I Made It they have of the season. It's rows and rows of awesome things to buy. And then the Neighborhood Flea rounds out Sunday from 11 to 4. It's down by the Pittsburgh Public Market and Marty's Market in the parking lot over there. And obviously, a lot of vintage finds and good things to eat. They'll have food trucks there as well. So a lot going on this weekend. I think you can definitely fit ice cream into your schedule.
Oh, yeah.
That's every day, true. If not, maybe for twice sure. a day.
Big music festival in the north side?
Oh, yeah. The Deutschtown. Oh, man. I have to, like, be sure to say that right. The Deutschtown Music Fest is also going on, I believe, all weekend long over in the north side. So you can check out some north side haunts over there, too.
Awesome. Rachel, thanks again.
Of course.